One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is brought to you by StarCharge, the largest EV charging manufacturer in the world, and is also a provider of residential and commercial battery storage and microgrid solutions. And KimPower, the reliable, quick, and scalable EV charging solutions for everyone and everywhere. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. It's good to be back. You probably didn't notice, but I took a few days off, went to Mexico, and now I'm back on the podcast with Kyle to talk about the Honda Prologue, which is not the first electric adventure that Honda has taken. Actually, we all know about the Moto Compacto, but there's a few others that Kyle can list. But it is the, you know, the big mass market EV that's coming in the modern age, 2024 Honda Prologue. It's, I think, exciting for a lot of people based on the size, the fact that Honda's really taking a step into this space, but we're going to get into the specs. Of course, Kyle went out to see it, maybe like 3-4 weeks ago in California, and you got to really experience it. But now all the information is out there, all the embargoes have lifted, and this is a supplement to, of course, your Out of Spec reviews video with the Honda Prologue. Kyle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad that you're back from Mexico and ready to rip some more episodes.
Yeah, let's do it. So the Honda Prologue is a midsize crossover. It shares a platform with the Chevy Blazer EV. It's slightly less expensive, though, at around $49,000 before incentives. We're pretty sure that you can get the $7,500 EV tax incentive on the Honda Prologue. And it has, I mean, let's get into the specs. Where do we want to start? Battery, range, all the different trims. What really stood out most about the Honda Prologue to you, Kyle?
Well, I had the chance to really spend basically 2 days with the engineering folks, the product planners, and also driving the vehicle. So I learned a lot about it. I went in not knowing anything about the Prologue. Didn't even like kind of research it much. I knew it was a shared Ultium project. And I've actually had some friends involved on this project. So we went over to Northern California. I got to drive it, got to meet with everyone. It's pretty great. And, I think that the headline stats for this car are, of course, 296 mile EPA range on a full charge. That's the highest standard range of any electric SUV. Because again, mm-hmm. Tesla offers standard range Model Y. That's a little bit less. Mm-hmm. And then the pricing is from 49 grand plus or minus, because you have to, it's MSRP plus destination charge is 48,795. You're at basically 49 grand, and it goes to 59 grand maxed out. So $10,000 spread. And at first glance, when I was looking at this car, this electric SUV in a vacuum, it is built really well. It looks great. I actually like a lot of the GM part sharing stuff, because I think General Motors does a lot of things really well, but then also some things pretty poorly. And so this benefits and suffers from that. And ultimately, I think, even before I drove the Prologue, I knew that this is going to go down in history. And I still think it is, as one of those weird collaborations. Like, remember the Volkswagen was it the Routon or whatever the Chrysler Pacifica Volkswagen was? And then there was also a few other examples of this, but this is going to be like, remember when Honda and Acura went to Chevy and Cadillac and said, yeah, we like that so much, build us some. And they are literally GM everything with a Honda badge slapped onto it. So it's no Honda-ness anywhere in this vehicle, other than the style.
What do you feel about that approach, not including really any Honda?
It's a good question and a fair question, because to someone who drives a lot of cars for work and we review them, it is very like, what the heck? How can a Honda have OnStar? And like when you turn traction control off, it says Stabilitrack off in a Honda. And so like I'm going like, what? This is crazy. But then like a normal consumer who's just buying this car, do they care? I don't think they do. I don't think many people do. Certainly the comment section is like, oh, I would buy this car. It's the first Honda I would buy because it's a GM product. And then you get the other side, which is I would never buy this car because it's a GM product. So there is a lot of that going on there. I think what would have been the preferred approach here is for Honda to show what Honda can do to build an electric SUV. And this is not Honda's first electric SUV. They have the E-NY1, terrible name in Europe. And it is an electric SUV from Honda. And it's a Honda car, is my understanding. I actually have been in one. I've never driven it, but I thought it was quite nice. And it was a Honda through and through. I'm like, oh, this is great. Okay, pretty interesting. We weren't driving. I just sat in it at an auto show. Mm-hmm. So why did they feel the need to partner with General Motors for both the Prologue and the Acura ZDX, which I think might be the best Ultium product before I've driven it, but that's the one I'm most excited about. Okay. And I'm driving it next month, I think.
Nice.
So anyway, there's a lot of GM-ness. So let's just get that right out of the way. Yeah. Our audience gets that. The next thing about this is, range seems good. Battery pack, 85 kilowatt hour. It's the small pack. The Blazer can get 105 kilowatt hour pack, but this is the small battery pack out of the Blazer, is the only one on offer. It's pretty low voltage, through mid 300, something like that. 155-ish kilowatt peak speeds, and the chief engineer said it wasn't a great curve, but we'll be able to test this at some point. What I don't know is if the curve is different than the Blazer's curve. So we'll have to play around with that. In terms of software, that's going to be everyone's big question, because the Blazer EV had a lot of software issues. We know that there was a stop sale. There still might be a stop sale. I'm not sure. But there were issues with that car launching.
Yes.
The Honda guys basically said the software, the base level software is the same, but they are basically two separate teams supporting the vehicles. So you have basically two tracks of software, and they're like, the Honda guys are doing their thing, the GM guys are doing their thing, and now there's a joint committee to argue about certain things across the models. I'm not sure this is a great approach or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Hopefully they kind of get ahead of the curve with the software issues, seeing what happened with the Chevy Blazer. Do you think that would be the case?
You know, I saw we had 15 cars or something like that people were driving at the event I was at over 2 days. I was on the first day, so I didn't hear about the second, but no one had any issues as far as I could tell. Everything, at least in my test, I only drove it for 4 hours, something like that. Zero bugs. I mean, the only thing was a little bit of like the screen not accepting my touch. But I think at the boil, that was weird. And it could have just been that like I had dry skin because it worked for everyone else pretty fine.
Weird.
It was weird. Yeah, I don't know what was good. It didn't like me that day. but here's the thing. When we boil down what is the Honda Prologue, because I know I've been a bit scattered in this episode, it is a really nicely sized, great styling, very minimalistic interior, and a great driving electric crossover. It's going to fit the needs of most people, whereas it's going to have more than enough range to do your long commute, drive around town. If I have to go from Fort Collins to Denver and back, it's just like 120 mile round trip. It can do that, no problem at all. And then if you have to go on a trip, you can road trip this thing. I mean, it's got DC charging up to 150 kilowatts. It's not amazing. The curve isn't amazing, but it should be a little bit better than the VinFast. It should be, which is priced similarly. It should be better than some of these other cars. And keep in mind, Model Y doesn't have a great charging curve either, but that is going to be a much more efficient, better charging vehicle. So what it looks to me is like Honda said, We want to build an electric SUV. We want to spend the least amount of money possible building this electric SUV. And their goal was to be very mid in the specs and features is sort of my take on everything. I have some issues with it. The biggest one being it's $7,000 more expensive than a Model Y Performance, the one that I tested, the Elite, the top spec, which is what you're looking at now. And it doesn't have lane centering. It has active lane keeping. And I confirmed this with the engineers. People in the comments were like, you got to hit this button. I'm like, I hit every button. And really? I also talked to the engineers. It has active lane keeping, which means when you hit a line, it pushes you back in. But it doesn't have active lane centering where it auto steers in the center of the lane. Wow. The Acura ZDX will get that with Super Cruise. But that to me is crazy. And I like asked all the Honda people and they're like, oh yeah. And I'm like, how can you launch a new electric car in 2024 without active lane centering?
Yeah, the VinFast VF8 has active lane centering.
Yeah, and it's good in the VinFast, actually.
Yeah, it's great. So that's a bit surprising for these little things that, you know, for a car priced at this level and coming from Honda and GM, that it wouldn't have this kind of feature. So there's some things that are kind of a big deal. You could make them small, but I think it could be significant to people, especially if you're considering what to invest in. But so the charging is also like the VinFast VF8, up to 150 kilowatts, like you said, good, not great. We'll see the charging curve. What about NACS?
Yeah, so Honda has CCS. Yeah, Honda's committed to J3400 NACS. And so it will have that after start of production. Start of production will be CCS. They're built in Mexico. Same production line as the Blazer. Honda wants 40,000 in the first year. And they seemed overly confident that they have no questions that they'll be able to build 40,000 of them in the first year. And I think, you know, regarding the pricing, the standard pricing is about the same price as a long range Model Y, which is crazy because you can also get a 7-seat Model Y and it's standard, you know, that's all wheel drive. And this is the front wheel drive with no options. And so it just seems like the price is like $7,000 too expensive.
Yeah.
Right. But the Model Y and this will also both get the tax credit, which means the gap stays the same is what we're expecting. So I think what Honda's going to do here, and I put this in the video, is I think they're going to lease 80% of them. I think they're going to have a really attractive lease. I don't know if it's going to be in the $300 or $400 range per month with a few dollars down, but you know, they got to keep it competitive with Tesla in the leasing game here. And there's a lot of people that just won't buy a Tesla or won't buy a Model Y, but that is the benchmark in this category. It's like we used to compare everything to the BMW 3 Series. In electric SUVs, we compare everything to the Model Y because that is the benchmark and it's got to do that. Also, annoyingly, that's the Honda Moto Compacto, which is really cool. And like it has an underfloor storage space in this car, but it just doesn't fit by like an inch or two.
Just an inch or two.
Like, just make the damn thing integrate into the Prologue.
Mm. Okay, so also they have some incentives with charging, which, you know, I think we've talked about here and there on the podcast. And this includes $500 for at-home charging installation credit and an $100 EVgo credit. Or you can go $750 on the EVgo network for those who can't do at-home charging. And it also, every deal includes 60 kilowatt hours on Electrify America. So,
and you're missing a third tier. There's a third one.
Tell me.
Well, there's three options. Uh-huh. So this is awful. This is terrible. Honda is launching their first mass market electric SUV, right? And you can already imagine dealerships in non-ZEV states or whatever. They've never sold an electric Honda before. And so they're not familiar with battery electric vehicles. I'm just saying in general, I'm sure there's some few good dealers out there. But the three options, you have an option A, option B, and option C for choosing your Honda Prologue charging packages. The last thing you want to do is complicate the sale of an electric vehicle at a Honda dealership any more than it needs to be. And so now you need to have a salesperson who's going to make a recommendation on which of the three charging packages a customer who's never driven an electric car, because they're marketing this not to cross shop with Blazer, but for Honda CR-V buyers or Honda whatever to jump into an electric car.
Hmm.
And this to me is just
adding a level of complication. So do you think they should just have one option?
One option. Just give everything to someone or don't give anything at all. Like, I don't know.
It's an option that includes at-home charging for those who can have it, and an option that doesn't for those who can't. Throw out the third option.
That would make a little bit more sense. It's like you can either charge at home or you can't. And so right now it's, do you want a home level 2 EVSE option A? And that gives you $500 of installation credit, $100 EVgo, and 60 kilowatt hour of Electrify America introductory charging, which isn't even enough to full charge the car. So now you're making someone sign up for, you know, 80% charge one time. That's annoying. Option B is, you can install the level 2 portable charging kit, which is the mobile one. And that comes with a $250 home installation credit versus the $500 credit of the hardwire, which makes no sense to me because they're going to be roughly the same cost to install at a house. You just need to get, 240 volt power to wherever it's going. That's the expense. Whether you put a plug in or you hardwire it, the cost shouldn't change much. Mm-hmm. And then in this case, you get $300 of EVgo credit, which is more, of course, and then you only get, and then option C is $750 of EVgo credit with nothing else. That's the one I would take. Give me all the free public charging and just install something, an EVSE on your own at your house.
Sure. Yeah, I agree that keeping it simple would be helpful, but I think these incentives might draw some people in with a lease as well. I do think they're successful, whether or not they actually play out successfully. I think they're successfully a package deal with my Moto Compacto and everything. But they're also part of the seven automakers too, of course, IANA. So we'll see how that comes to play.
No IANA free charging credit in this thing. What's up with that?
Well, I think because they don't have a network, why would they include that information if they're not even ready to tell you where you can charge? You're talking about getting complicated. We don't want to get more complicated with a network that doesn't exist yet.
But at least it would be their own network. I don't know. And so, I agree, Francie. I think some of these can work, but I just don't like that there's three options. Just pick one and give the customer everything. It's the first year of a new electric model. Take any, issue of the sale and just, eliminate that if you can, and that just give someone everything. Give a home charger plus EVgo credit plus EA, sure, whatever.
We'll see. We'll see what our audience thinks. Which option would you choose, or do you love options? And all right, so this is a very heavily GM Ultium EV. They had their problems. Hopefully, there will not be trickling over into the Honda Prologue. Like you said, it just kind of rides right down the middle, not trying to exceed anyone's expectations, but hopefully at least meet them.
It drives very nice. It's a very comfortable car. It's very big. It's very roomy. It's very soft. It's quite wallowy and floaty, especially at high speeds, but it's not the worst. It's actually got a tiny bit of sporting flair when you get it on a back road. And the tires aren't super grippy, but when you get some heat into them, they work pretty well from a performance standpoint. No one is going to be disappointed if they buy this car. I think it's going to be, for the target buyer, really nice. And in many ways, it is nicer than the Model Y. It's got more room. I fit better in it. I actually kind of like it from a styling perspective, much better than Model Y. So I really see the competitive advantage to this vehicle. The big question really is going to be, what's that lease number going to be?
Yeah, I think that is definitely the question. It seems like a pretty good first mainstream EV for Honda to put out in the US, and seems to just kind of go along with Honda and their branding from my point of view.
Well, yeah, but is it a Honda? So what do you mean by that? Because it looks like
Chevy. Well, I know, but externally, it looks approachable from someone who knows Honda and wants to get into the EV space or own an EV.
Yeah. So styling wise, I think they nailed it for sure.
Yes, but of course, everything underneath is GM.
Everything. I mean, literally everything. Software, hardware. It does have Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, which the Blazer doesn't have. And I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing. It's just so blatant GM.
Well, it does make me wonder, Honda, it does have a great reputation for reliability. And now this is not built by Honda. So will they be able to carry that same reliability, especially with the concerns that the Ultium platform has had going forward? So is Honda kind of nervous? I don't know, maybe, but hopefully.
Yeah, time will tell on that one. Like I said in the video, I'm cautiously optimistic about this car. For me personally, if this is on the Hertz rental lot and it's parked next to a Polestar or a Bolt or whatever, even a Model Y, I'd probably choose this just because it's interesting. It's nice to drive. It's quiet. It's comfortable. I really like it. So
good.
I would say the Prologue is like what I really wish Honda did was build their own. And going forward, they will build their own battery electric cars. So it's a weird one-off. I'm not sure what it's going to do in the marketplace. I'm not good at predicting sales. I'm not good at understanding those things from a volume perspective, but I will be keeping a close eye on it.
It's interesting. Prologue being, you know, the introduction of something that their introduction is not built by Honda necessarily. So
yeah, not at all. It's like, and I know this isn't the case because there was a lot of back and forth collaboration between Honda and GM, but it's kind of just like Honda went, I'm oversimplifying, but hey, can we just like, you know, take whatever you're working on and we'll design our thing and slap the shell on it, call it a day. And that's exactly what happened. It's like GM switchgear, GM seats, GM everything. And it's not a bad thing.
Get us an EV to market.
So I actually like the GM stuff. I'm a pretty big fan of like their switchgear and the steering wheels and everything. But yeah, I guess so some things that I like about it, just to summarize at the end of the video here, styling, road trip ability in terms of, or I should say long commute ability, where if you're just cruising down the highway, it's very comfortable. It's quiet, very roomy cabin. The seats are very good. Air conditioning is amazing and heating is great. So really enjoyed both of those, tested both at their max, and it gets hot and cold very quickly. Handling dynamics, I thought was at high speed corners, not what I would prefer from a sporting standpoint, but they use the same exact hardware as the GM stuff, just with different valving in the dampers and different bushings just to tighten it up a little bit compared to the Blazer. And I think they did a good job because on a low speed twisty canyon road, it was really fun. Sound system's pretty good in the Elite version as well. The things that I don't like are lack of active lane centering, so no auto steer, which is a deal breaker, I think, for most people in this category. It's just crazy how it doesn't have that. And I think it's because on GM, they make you get Super Cruise or you don't get anything, and they had to pick from the GM's parts catalog. So that's the main issue there. I think the price, if you're going to purchase it outright, is too expensive by about $7,000 for each trim. Compared to, again, the competition in this space, Mustang Mach-E slashing prices, et cetera, et cetera. I think this is coming in a little bit too warm, but that can be solved with a lease deal. I think other negatives about it.
Yeah, no space for the Moto Compacto.
Yeah, Moto Compacto space. The charging performance, I think, is going to be a weak one. It's 48 amp AC charging, which is, that's fine. No issues there. It also doesn't show you, it's the DC charging performance that kind of is, just seems not great. And it doesn't show you state of charge and percentage anywhere that I could find in the vehicle.
What it shows you only miles.
Shows you miles. But then you have to set your charge limit based off of percent.
No, I feel like they should have a way to change that.
Yeah, I can just plug in an OBD to it and get the nerd stuff. But I think drivers should think in percent and miles, because both are relevant for battery care and longevity, also charging performance. And you do need to know percent, because you want to know at like 20%, here's how fast I charge, versus I don't know, at 120 miles of range could mean I'm at 30% or 50%, depending on how I'm driving, because it's a guessometer. So you don't have consistent charging there. That's why I like to have both numbers. And to me, it just felt very like a lack of effort from Honda. I know it wasn't. I know, again, some people that were involved, the chief engineer, cool dude, friends with one of our friends, actually. And, you know, I've been working at Honda for 20 something years, responsible for very important projects. But I don't want to say they phoned it in. And I'm not sure this is a bad thing, because GM also, you know, regardless of the software things, the Blazers, there's a lot of nice things about that car that transferred over. And I think it was more of an integration project more than an engineering project.
Makes sense. Thanks for summing it up. Let me know what everyone thinks of the Honda Prologue, their first mainstream EV coming to the market. I mean, there's been things before, but this is the big one.
What do you think about it?
Well, I haven't driven it, so yeah, I don't know.
But do you roughly think about it?
What do I roughly think about it? I think that you're right in saying that it's kind of right down the, but I really can't speak to it. I don't know how it charges, but it's right down the line. I think it's interesting because some come out trying to exceed expectations or make the best EV on the road. they definitely didn't try that with this. They just tried to get something that hopefully will work and satisfy the everyday customer and be an offer that you can have as like your everyday driver as a family. That's kind of what I'm seeing here. So would love for that to be successful. I think it's you're right. It has the space that people would like and need. It's, you say it has the comfort and everything. So I have to get in it to really see. But off the bat, doesn't seem too disappointing. Let us know what you think in the comments. Thank you, Kyle, for coming on to the podcast to tell us all about it. Check out the Out of Spec Reviews video for all of the details. And we will see you next time on the next episode of the Out of Spec podcast. Have a terrific rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.